is a very famous hadith. And the subject of this hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that I become the eyes of the believer just as he sees, and I become his hand with which he holds on to and grabs hold of. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything about that man, that person, Allah ta'ala associates with himself, connects to himself. So if we think now, that how great will that person be, they're not selected specific people that Allah ta'ala is mentioning here, rather, every person with iman, he has this connection with Allah. After bringing about iman, after having faith, a person becomes so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala himself states, أَقْرَبُ إِلَهِ. Allah ta'ala says that I am closer to him than his own jugular vein. So, how Allah ta'ala is close, how strong is the relationship between Allah and his servant? And this is the reality, that the servant and Allah, man and Allah, the person with faith, iman, has the closest link with Allah ta'ala. Everything is far from the human being except Allah. Everything is distant from a human being except for Allah. So this is a special close relationship with Allah. This is in reality, this is the qurb, the nearness. And we need to think about this relationship. What's the reason that despite being so close to Allah, about which Allah himself, Allah states, Allah created us himself. And then he on top of that tells us, so then why is this situation between us and Allah as it is now? Because we don't have yaqeen in Allah. We don't have belief in Allah. For asking, for getting something from somebody, for requesting for something, we believe in Allah, we say, we accept. But we believe in such a way that, like for example, we don't believe. Such a weak relationship of the human being, it becomes extremely weak. Look, for example, a person leaves sujood, prostration. He stops prostrating to Allah. He stops asking from Allah. Yes, and he is then busy and occupied in shirk. And he gets so far from Allah Ta'ala. What's the reason for this? Why does this occur? The reason for this is clear, and that reason is ghaflat. Laziness, negligence, ignorance. Because ghaflat, ignorance and neglect is such a dangerous state for a person that this ghaflat, it causes, because every sin and every action which is wrong when it occurs is due to ghaflat, negligence and laziness and ignorance. So when a human being is occupied and busy in ghaflat, he's overwhelmed with ghaflat, then the biggest azab, the biggest punishment when he's lazy and neglectful is that he goes far from Allah. So despite being close in reality, he goes far from Allah. And the reason, because obviously we're living in this dunya, this world, and we're surrounded with circumstances and food and drink and requirements and needs of life. Everything is there around us. But this is not the reality of life. If we think about it, we say that eating, drinking, I work, I have a business, I have to live in the world, I'm busy with my wife, my kids, and this is the reason why I'm far from Allah. But yes, these things do cause distance between us and Allah. But the reality is what? Why are we far? Is that along with these things that we've just mentioned, if we cure our issue, then these things around us are not the cause of negligence. These are jais. These are halal things. Allah has ordered himself to us that these are rewards I've given to you in the dunya for us to live amongst. But yes, these things do take us. You can say they do create ignorance and negligence or laziness or distance. For example, you going past a place where there's soil and dirt and dust, then that will come onto you. That, but will you stay like that always? No. Then you'll be aware. Your heart will feel also, and you'll be a bit sort of sweating, and you'll feel a bit uncomfortable. So immediately, what will you do to cure that condition? Is you'll go and wash yourself. You'll have a bath. You'll have a ghusl, because you've just become dirty physically. So the difference here is that the dunya that we're blaming for our issues, reality is it's not that fault of the dunya. We have to live in the world. There's no way out of that. We have to live in the world, in the dunya. But we do not analyze and cure the root cause of our issue, of our negligence and laziness. And, astaghfirullah, in the same way, insan, not one, but whoever does not cure his issues, then he departs this world as a negligent and ignorant person. Lazy. Then obviously the ghafileen, Allah's mentioned in the Quran, the situation with regards to the ghafil people afterwards. We don't even think about this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, because we are at this moment in this great and blessed month of Ramadan, we're passing through this month of Ramadan. So don't think that this month is just temporary and we are repeatedly every day going through this lesson. Don't just think that we're fasting and we had food in the morning and the evening. No, this month gives us great lessons, great sabak, and it takes you from one level to multitudes of levels this month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regards to negligence and laziness, Allah's put the complete cure within Ramadan. Complete cure. What a big disease. If a person gets out of laziness and ignorance, neglect, then he becomes a fantastic human being. What does he become? Allah says that I am his eyes with which he sees, I am his hands with which he does things and holds on to things. I assist him. So all these qualities Allah Ta'ala has kept in what? In Ramadan. And we can sense that fragrance of Ramadan. And for that reason, Ramadan has specially specific month of Ramadan through which the qualities of Ramadan will allow us to practice the right things. And the ibadah Allah has given us in Ramadan is fasting. Fasting. Now fasting, this ibadah, it gives the complete cure to neglect and laziness. Complete cure. When in one day when a person fasts and he comes out fasting, then in the evening it's announced, Allah says, I've become the eyes, I've become his hands. Allah says, I'm his hands, I'm his eyes, with he sees and he holds and he does things, because he has done the action that makes ghaflat, negligence, go far from him. How? I'll explain to you. What's the cure for neglect and ignorance? The cure for neglect and ignorance, what's in the opposition? Rujoo ila Allah. The opposite to laziness and neglect is paying attention to and focusing on Allah. These are the two extreme opposites. When a person's lazy and ignorance and it's overtaken him, then what should he do at that time? He should turn to Allah and focus on Allah. It's the best cure for this. The best cure. Ghaflat, laziness will never allow you to implement Allah's ahkams. For example, you're sinning. You're sinning. And your heart is heavy, is burdensome, you don't feel like doing anything, you feel distressed. And a deep situation where you don't feel like doing anything and your heart's sealed, you could see, and dark, and you feel sad and sorrowful. So consider that this is the effect of ghaflat and laziness, and there's one cure for this. Turn to Allah. Turn to Allah. Turn to Allah. Focus on Allah. The Quran has said this, isn't it? Those people, when they are occupied and busy in fahash, in vice, evil, and they commit sins, and they do dhulam and oppress on themselves, then the first thing they do is raju' ila Allah. Turn to Allah. Why? Why do you turn to Allah? For this reason, because that disease due to which we are committing the wrong actions, so that we can come out of that disease. For example, you see somebody's not praying salah, somebody's committing sins, you see somebody's not practicing deen, he's not on the path of the deen. Rather than just speak to him, rather try to bring him towards Allah, Allah's nearness. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, what do? At that time we forcefully take him to salah, he'll come. He'll go to salah, waaz, a lecture, tabligh, but after a few moments or days or time, he'll turn back because his laziness and neglect has not been cured. The real cure has not been implemented. The good hakeem, doctor, he says, let's look at the root cause of this sickness. They diagnose, why is this sickness here? What's the reason it's come about? Why did it come? Let's look back in time. This is the biggest hikmah in the deen. So who knows better than Allah about the cure for our sicknesses? So Allah Ta'ala has given us the cure within Ramadan for the human being. Just as the cures come out, you see that the masjid fill up. The tilawat starts, recitation starts. Yes, and people start to feel good and want to do good, and they feel like doing the good actions. They feel like praying tahajjud. They want to sit with good people. What's the reason for this? Yes, even though no one's doing tabligh on that person, there's no lecture he's heard, no speech, but his cure is being implemented. So this is a great point here we've understood. That in this society, as our wife, our children, relatives, we need to educate them and coach them. And we shouldn't be forceful or strict or hit or beat people. No. But do one thing is that turn their attention to Allah. Bring them towards Allah. And turn their hearts towards Allah. Bring their hearts towards Allah. Because the thing that's opposite to negligence and ghaflat is that the feeling towards Allah. As soon as you travel towards Allah and move towards Allah, the Quran says when you commit sin, after sinning, when the person's destroyed himself due to the sin and ruined himself, but then he does a very good action. They know what is the cure. They understood straight away. Dhikrullah. Dhikrullah. Turn to Allah. Remember Allah. Soon as a person remembers, turns to Allah, Allah's defined the action as dhikrullah. Turning to Allah. Focusing on Allah equals dhikrullah. So ruju ilallah is the solution here, and I'll explain this a bit more. When a person keeps a fast, kept the fast, yeah? Every person's kept a fast, sinful person, this man, that man who prays Allah, someone doesn't pray Allah, everyone's kept a fast, the whole full spectrum. As long as we are in the state of fast, his focus, his thinking, his actions, always are revolving around the fast. Experience this for yourselves. Even though this ibadah of fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not prevented you from doing any action in the dunya. Has Allah ta'ala said, close your shops, don't go to office? Has Allah said this, don't do this, go into the dunya, don't study, don't go to education, close madrasa, or stop this? Has Allah stopped you doing anything in the dunya? If we do this ourselves, we can, but Allah has not put any conditions in Ramadan. For salah, Allah has, that when it's time for salah, then hasten to the salah and close your shops. And Allah says, then shut the business down at that time. Allah said that, isn't it, with regards to... But for fasting, Allah has put no condition of stopping the dunya, put the brakes on the dunya. What a big hikmah. Because for explaining this thing, that when the human being turns to Allah, then in reality, the halal action he's doing, earning his upkeep, his provisions, then these things are not an obstacle for him. Subhanallah, understand the point here. Rather, they are a means for his promotion when he turns to Allah. Then even these worldly things become a reward for him. Subhanallah. You understand the point I'm trying to say? You don't understand what I'm saying. Look here. The worldly things, factors also become a reward for him. That's why in this ibadah of fasting, which Allah Ta'ala is making us do, what's he making us do? Say it loudly. Raju ila Allah. He's training us to turn to Allah. How? Now, for example, you wake up, you keep the fast. Okay? You keep the fast. Then, you've kept the fast now. Whatever you do now in the dunya, you go to buy shopping. What's your thoughts in your mind, in your heart? Ooh, I've got to fast. Okay, I need to buy something from the shopping center. I need to buy some food to break the fast. So the fast is there. Okay, let's leave for a little while because I'm fasting. I need rest. Okay, let me do this because I'm fasting. And in the fasting day, I need to do this. All things you do during the day, everything will summarize and everything will be revolving your mind. What's the thought in your mind? I'm fasting. I'm fasting. You're thirsty. What will it remind you? I'm fasting. When you're hungry, will it remind you? I'm fasting. So this is a repetitive, ongoing state of affairs till you kept the fast in the morning until evening. The thought of the fast does not disappear from your mind. What an ibadah Allah has given. When you leave a sin, you say, no, I'm fasting. You prevent yourself from doing a sin, no, I'm fasting. Oh, you want to do a good action? Oh, let me do this good action because we're fasting, we'll get more thawab. When you don't pray salah in jama'ah. No, today I'm going to pray in jama'ah in the masjid because I'm fasting. Oh, I want to go and pray tarawih because it's Ramadan, I'm fasting. Not a minute in the day or the night, such an ibadah. fasting, not for a minute, does it keep you, leave you as a ghafil, lazy, neglect from Subhanallah, what an ajeeb, unique ibadah. Rather, it gives you the influence to do more ibadah. No excuses. Oh, I'm fasting, I don't want to do this. There's no sharia dalil for you that you don't need to do this. No, there's none. So what we learn here is that such an azim, great ibadah, which it is making us achieve a specific conclusion. Do you understand what I'm saying? What's it exercising us or training us or coaching us to do? That this ibadah of fast, time and time again, 30 days repeatedly, do not forget your Rabb for a second. Subhanallah, a person doesn't forget his Rabb. He doesn't. When he's going through fasting, the hunger reminds you, the thirst reminds you. You can't go to your wife, no, I'm fasting. I can't. Don't oppress him, I'm fasting. Every second in your mind, it's revolving in your mind. Even if it doesn't, because you're physically in that state as well. Even if you're not thinking about it, but physically, when you keep the fast and it slows you down, and you know physically, spiritually that you're fasting, quickly go home, I'm fasting. Let me rest for a little while, I'm fasting. Do this action, I'm fasting. And you're coming home from the shops, and you'll see, oh, okay, let's buy some fruit, because the children, they'll eat the fruit when we break the fast. Fasting. Yes, quickly, you're coming. You say, quickly, put a petrol, will run out in the car. I've got to get to the masjid for Tarawih. I've got to keep the fast in the morning. So, have you forgotten? You haven't forgotten. So what's reminding you? What's the solution? That fast is curing the sickness of ghaflat, negligence and laziness. Until the evening, the human being, because he's curing his negligence, every second you remembered Allah, you turned to Allah, you focused on Allah. And this is the condition Allah says, that a human being have become his eyes with which he sees, and his hands with which he does things, and his feet with which he walks. Which insan? Who always is close to me. Subhanallah. What a great solution. What a cure in Ramadan. So that same human being who is the biggest of sinners from morning through the day until the evening, what has he done? One action. That he has gone close to Allah. For not a second did he forget Allah. Every moment in his mind, the thought was revolving, standing, sleeping, sitting, outside, home, wife, children. One thing he kept on remembering, you're fasting, you're in the state of fast. So elevated a human being becomes that when it's the time for iftar to break the fast, then completely, totally becomes that human being about whom Allah says that his eyes, I mean now his hands and his feet and everything of his, I'm associated with him, I'm close with him. Every human being, that's what Allah Ta'ala says. And the reward then is so great. The qurb, the nearness to Allah announces suddenly, immediately, that all your sins are forgiven. Go, paradise is ready for you. Go into paradise. If a fasting person after iftar dies, then good news he will depart with. What good news? That his sins are forgiven, and specific select qurb, khas, special closeness of Allah he's attained, and alhamdulillah will be on such a heights of qurb of nearness Allah. Highs, his hands, his feet, everything Allah Ta'ala says, I'm with that person. Subhanallah. So now, brothers, what a great human being becomes. When he becomes such a great human being, Allah Ta'ala says, when is a person like this, and he raises his hands in front of me to request from me, Allah says, before his hands drop, Allah says, haya comes to me. I don't, his hands drop, I accept his du'as. That's why stated at time of iftar, every du'a is accepted. Iftar time, a person should not be lazy. Don't be hesitant. Keep in your mind and heart the things whatever I need. Iftar time, I need to ask Allah for those things. The logic is what I've just explained to you. The logic behind that. Not that we kept the fast and I've done a great deed, etc. As I say many times, just like the sick people in hospital, they haven't eaten 24 hours. So what have we done? He hasn't drank water for 24 hours. So what have we done? Even if you give him food, he won't eat. So not drinking or eating is not a miracle. These are the signs of a sickness. Really, a person sick, if he doesn't eat or drink, he's like the sick people. So that's not the miracle, that's not the achievement. So this is not some big thing that we've done. The real action we've done is that this ibadah of fasting, not for a second has it kept us far from Allah. Hasn't made us ghafil. And the fast has elevated us in remembering Allah, focusing on Allah, that we are saved from the sins. This is the achievement. We have saved ourselves from sin. No. It was very difficult for a person to commit a sin. Control full on the nafs, on the desires. So Allah Ta'ala, these 30 days has made us practice this and train this and coach us to do this. And Allah Ta'ala, these 30 days repeatedly we have done this action. Allah says, then if for the rest of your life you live your life like this, then you are living the life of the real mu'min that I want you to do. That's why I created you. Then really you are close to me. You'll stay in my qurb, Allah Ta'ala says. And then this will occur just like in Ramadan it occurred. Then in the state of fast, you did all the good things. So then Allah says, when you stay in that state and you're focused on me and turn, all the things are halal, going to your wife and sitting with the children, the things I stopped you to do, the thing that they're halal for you ongoing, that the thing when you do that ongoing, then they won't put you into the ghaflat or negligence or laziness, rather they will create rewards for you. Rewards for you. And you'll get extra ongoing promotion. So when a person's close to Allah, with the qurb of Allah, when laziness goes far, becomes that human being, that even his sleep becomes ibadah, worship. And when he goes to his wife, when he has love for his wife, even that becomes ibadah. And business and work becomes high level ibadah for that person. Extreme ibadah for that person, worship. On every act of worship, Allah Ta'ala gives rewards. Why? There's a reason for that. That this person, whatever he has done, the halal actions I prescribed to him, he did not do in the state of negligence or laziness. Rather, he did them just like when he was fasting Ramadan. His focus was on the fast and he was in the dunya. Same way, afterwards, your focus is on Allah, even though you are working in the dunya. Where does Islam stop you? Don't do this, don't do this action, don't work or just stop earning. This is Islam. And Allah Ta'ala likes the Islam of that person who earns from his hands and he feeds his wife and his children. So when a human being becomes like this, Alhamdulillah, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, the ongoing until the end, I keep him the same way. The person who does not give provisions to his wife and children with haram, he doesn't run around and earn unlawful. Rather, he prefers to feed them halal. Somehow, I want to earn with my hands. I don't want to buy or earn the wrong things. I don't want khairat from the wrong sources. But the ghafil, he wants just stay at home, money comes automatically, and I keep on earning and bringing the funds in, enjoy my life, and I don't have to do anything, and I'm pious. This is the sign of negligence and ignorance. So fast has not prevented us from earning the dunya. This is ibadah. What a person should do, Allah Ta'ala says, oh, they're tired, they're hungry. We also have to see that we are sat in a cold climate, there's rain, and we've got clothes, and the sun comes out, and sometimes there's rain, sometimes there's heat. This is fluctuation and enjoyment of the climate here in this country. Allah has given us ni'mah. We are happy with that. That Allah sent us here, so we're keeping the fast. We have to, but there are also those people who are fasting, that man, that the time of iftar, only he has with difficulty a dried piece of bread or chapati, maybe some chutney or yesterday's leftovers, onions. And this is the majority of the mu'mineen who are living the life of ghurbat, poverty. You will hear this when people come here. They ask you for some help, assistance. They're back home. Their people are poor and they're in need. They say that, don't they? So we should be grateful, extremely grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all the rewards of the deen and He's given us dunya at the same time in parallel. Tell me. Allah has given us dunya and on top of that we make a fuss. We complain, even then we complain, and we're not grateful to Allah for the maqam Allah has given to us, but Allah Ta'ala has not reduced our ibadah or thawab, He has not reduced our reward. This is also a test for us, a challenge in this environment that we're in. What a great reward. Yes, but we look at those people, the poor souls who come from the other part of the world and say, please give us money, there's difficulty, we're in need, we're desperate in a country in Burma, Bangladesh, Pakistan, the floods come, people are dying of hunger, Afghanistan, look at the hal now. People, they're selling their children, are they not doing this? But is it forgiven that they don't keep the fast? Are they not meant to keep the fast? No, 100 degrees Fahrenheit temperature that we've kept the fast. We are from the desert environment, alhamdulillah, mashallah. Our city, Multan, is the hottest of the cities. Hottest. Where I come from, but it's not forgiven. We're not allowed to leave the fast there. And there, at that time, where those people keep fast, is it told to them, don't work? Is it told to them that you have to leave work? Or don't go to your shop? No, this is the test. This is the challenge. Practically, in no way or form, doesn't matter what environment, circumstances, hot country, cold. Today we're here, maybe tomorrow we'll be there. Maybe they'll come here. Maybe there'll be a swap. So no example can it be that a person's in. If he wants to be close to Allah, if he wants to get close to Allah, then not for a second can he be ghafil from Allah's remembrance. lazy from Allah's remembrance. Do you understand my point? Not for a minute can you be detached from Allah's remembrance. And the effects of being lazy and ignorant, they come onto the heart of the person immediately. Starts complaining to Allah. He runs after dunya all the time. Greed increases. And haram, consuming haram increases. And what's the reason for all of this? Ghaflat, negligence, laziness. And what's the cure for this? Ruju ila Allah. Turn to Allah. Focus on Allah. Just like the fast has made us human beings. So Ramadan, alhamdulillah, is practicing, making us practice 100%, 30 days. And after 30 days, it will tell us, you're gone. It will say, bye-bye. The new moon will come, and then we'll be happy when we see that new moon. But it's sad to say, that Ramadan made us practice and has put us into the playing field. That go now, where I took you from, Ramadan says in the beginning, I've thrown you back there, into that playing field, back to those months afterwards. But the people of wisdom and hikmah and understanding and intellect, they've understood this message of Ramadan, that Allah Ta'ala sent this month to teach us, to make us practice, that not for a minute after Ramadan should we be lazy or neglectful or ignorance of Allah, otherwise we'll be destroyed, ruined. Soon as Ramadan goes, people become upset. Those who understood the message of Ramadan, they're upset. They're not running after Sawaiya and Semolina on the day of Eid. They have a fikr, a concern. On the first day after Ramadan, you will feel that feeling, emotion of Ramadan will not be there in your hearts. The good company, always the effect stays of the good company. Good company, the effect always stays with the person. As Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, this hadith I'm remembering, I'll present at your service, because we're talking on this topic. This hadith is in Mishkat, I think. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, that look, when you see that there's a person, Zahadu Dunya, Wakilutul Mantaq, he has inside him two things. That he is in this world and he doesn't love the dunya for the sake of it. It's not that he's not eating, he's not sleeping, he's not working. That doesn't mean the love of the dunya is that he's not running after the dunya whilst he's ignorant of reality. He hasn't got laziness or ignorance inside him. He's not ignorant. Rather, everything that Allah Ta'ala is trying to do in the world, he's doing it proportionately according to his need. But he's not running after dunya. This is called zuhd. He's not got the taste of the dunya that he's running after. And what's the second thing? That inside that person? Qillat. He speaks less. He doesn't talk too much. He doesn't gossip too much. Two qualities. This person who's got zuhd, and he doesn't talk too much. He's detached from the dunya, in other words. He's detached from the dunya. He's not attached to the dunya. And totally doesn't like talking nonsense talk, wasteful talk, talking for the sake of it. He's got these two things. And two things force him to do those two things. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that waqtarabu, that be careful, that go close to that person. Be alert to this person. And this is the hukum for going to have sohbat, company of such a person. Immediately go close to that person. When you see these two qualities in him, when you go close to him, then yalka hikmata, then inside you, the oceans of hikmah will be transformed. SubhanAllah. This is sohbat, the sheikh, the company of the teacher. SubhanAllah. So as soon as Ramadan ends, those who understood this message, the rest of my life I need to live like this so I'm not lazy or neglectful. And ghaflat is the worst of diseases. What a beautiful hadith. Then immediately the human being runs to look for the company of a person who has been praised in his hadith. He doesn't run after dunya. He's not greedy for the dunya. And he's not occupied with gossip mongering or wasteful talk or nonsense talk. He doesn't have these qualities. Then immediately run after him, go into his company and have his sohbat. SubhanAllah. And he will take you also out of ghaflat. He will also teach you the resources and the methods and techniques so you also run away from ghaflat. Negligence, ignorance of my brothers. The thing that Ramadan today is teaching us, alhamdulillah, these same things you will learn after Ramadan in the khanqahs, you will find these things. Totally the same education. Just that Ramadan teaches you to be running away from ghaflat. Straight away you go to Sheikh Saab, the teacher, and he will cure your diseases, your maladies. Because we come to Ramadan, we were in a bad state of affairs on day one. Yes, our heart was full of negligence and laziness. Not a second did we remember Allah. But now, the whole day we remember Allah during the fast. The fast doesn't allow us to forget Allah. The fast doesn't allow us to forget Allah. Same way when a student goes to the Shaykh, then the Shaykh doesn't allow you to forget Allah. He pulls you together. Yes? He teaches you, he coaches you, he trains you. But Shaytan says, I don't want you to go to the Shaykh. When you go to your Shaykh, I'll make you go far. I won't let you sit there. Go here. Go to A, to B, to C. But don't go to that man who always teaches you dhikrullah. Shaytan will make you far from him. His other person, go to his speech. His waaz, his lecture is good, go to him. Oh, he does good tafsir, go to him. He teaches good hadith, the Rasul hadith. His shaitan will send you everywhere. But remember, the shaitan won't let you go to your shaykh. Everything, you'll be wrapped with the ignorance and laziness if you don't have focus on Allah. If your heart is not turned to Allah. Do you understand the points I'm making? You don't understand what I'm saying. Okay, so this is the learning. So shaitan, he does an action with a human being. He says, go here, go there, go everywhere. Look there, look at the learnings there. What do you need to seek? Well, Allah's Nabi said, no, I need to find the company of that teacher where there's no nonsense talk, no wasteful talk, no dunya. There only is Allah. There is only Allah. Go close to the person, stick yourself to that person, adhere to that person. If someone says to you, why do you go to your shaykh? Say, I go for this reason, because Rasulullah instructed us to. Otherwise, why do I have a need? Has a scorpion bit me that I'm going there for the cure? Why don't you go to other places to listen to the speeches and lectures, your family people? Why don't you go to other places? Why do you keep... Your wife will say to you, the woman, mashallah, who has good understanding, good wife and good relatives, they guide a person, a nek, salih, pious, righteous woman, then they train their husbands on the right path. If they have akal and intellect, but this is hard today, that there shouldn't be animals or beggars. The animal kicks the person. For example, if you put your hand on the back of an animal, then it will kick you, the donkey, with the leg. If you give the love, but it will kick you. Same way your wife, if, for example, you try to teach her the deen and coach her the deen, she'll kick you and say, get away, she has pain. But the good woman, that she'll have pain, that no, there's dhikr happening, go there. The shaitan, for example, he will try to deviate. And for example, I don't know if what I'm saying is pestering somebody, but when Allah Ta'ala gives us the message and when the words come from Allah, then there's islah to the human beings. That's where the cure comes. That's where the cure comes. So Allah Ta'ala's karam and mercy, that for example, a person who's doing islah for you, that he speaks those words that are benefiting you. This is Allah Ta'ala's karam and mercy and blessing. He cures you. He cures you. Maybe, mashallah, that somebody's been cured here right now. Not here, that maybe somewhere else where people are listening. Maybe. So what's the nasihah? That beware that this hadith of Rasulullah I've shared with you. Don't run around left, right and everywhere. First go there to that company where the laziness and negligence and ignorance is cured. Where you go to other gatherings, there's stories and dramas and mazah and enjoyment. But dhikr won't be taking place there. Dhikr. If they will be illa qaleel, they will say that they do dhikr, but very less amount, just 5 minutes, not even that. Not even that. So in the khankas, you will get the solution. What's the light of the khanka? The friends of Allah, the walis of Allah. Subhanallah. What's the light of the masjid? The minbar. Yes? In that masjid where there's no minbar, then you cannot say that the noor is there, the light is there. The minbar is there for the reason so that there's the illumination of the masjid. Minbar is there, you put the carpet out, you put lights, and after they say, masjid is not complete. First and foremost, what you say? You'll look at the minbar. Why? Because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this is that place where the whole deen is spread around the world from this place, the masjid. So this is the root of the masjid. Same way the khanqa, you go to the masjid and you'll say, that. How do you know if it's a khanqa or a masjid? How will you know what this place is? For this to determine this is a khanqa or a masjid? Because the khanqa also inside, in the masjid is the khanqa. They're combined. Yes, in the masjid there's a member and in the khanqa there's a member. So you'll say that yesterday, what can I say to you? Today, mashallah, when the people, mashallah, alim, the scholars come to the masjid, they give speeches and talks. And after that, Mawlana Hazrat Qibla Sheikh Al-Hadith Ahmad, he gave his name. He has come here, he came to this masjid. And yesterday, my honor and Allah's grace, that I got an opportunity to shake his hand. And he met me. And I was grateful to Allah. He automatically came himself to me, to meet me. And then I remember one of his statements. And I'm sharing that statement with you. And good things, immediately I embrace good things. I embrace good things. I remember them. Just like I'm saying, everything, every masjid cannot be a khanqa. Remember, understand what I'm saying. Not every masjid can be khanqa. Because the light of the khanqa is what? The friend of Allah, the wali Allah.
So not every masjid is khanqah. Where the wali Allah sits, then that masjid becomes a khanqah. So this masjid is not a masjid. Only, it's not just a masjid. Rather, on top of that, it is also a khanqah where we are now. I'm telling you the rightful things. I don't talk wasteful things. I don't talk nonsense. Right now, there are two qualities of where we are. The man who comes here, he'll pray salah and also wash his heart and his self, his inner state. Here he will come, he will pray salah and also he will solve the issue of his ghaflah, the laziness. He will learn new things, good things. He'll solve his sicknesses, not just stories and speeches and great speeches. He'll come here. His eyes will continue to open and open and open. First he'll sit reclining, lying down. As soon as he learns more things, then he'll sit up alert and his eyes will open wide. Yaar, where have I arrived to? Where have I come to? And this is what I needed, subhanAllah. What is it? That is the light, the illumination. The khanqah, what is the illumination of the khanqah? The wali Allah. So he said a statement. The scholar, he said that I have gone to many masjids. This was his statement. I'm not saying this. He said this. You can ask him. He said this. He said, I've been to many masjids. And he said this. That what is there in this masjid? He said, they have gone to big mosques here, centers, etc. Where are these Sheikh Uladis? Where is it? I don't go in India. He must wander around so many places. He's saying this. He says, I've gone to many masjids. But I swear by Allah, the sukoon and peace and contentment, enjoyment I've got here, I've not found anywhere else. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. I'm not saying this. Allah Ta'ala, from their tongues, Allah Ta'ala makes them speak those words. Why shouldn't he come? Why shouldn't he have the feeling? Because Allah selected that masjid for his dhikr, for his remembrance. Wherever the cure is given for which Allah Ta'ala says such a great month, Ramadan was created, Allah announced that 2 months in advance, that the month of barakah, grace, azim, great month is to come. And what will you see, what's hidden in Ramadan? It will teach you that not for a second should you be ghaflat, ghafil from your Lord. Otherwise you'll be ruined, destroyed. So Ramadan teaches that. So what will be the masjid? The morning and evening, every second, the same message goes, that go far from ghaflat. Don't be lazy. Ruju ila Allah, do dhikrullah. Same message every day, morning and evening. Same message. That here, I don't talk wasteful talk, hadith, Quran, in the light of Quran and hadith and experience, I share that with you. That, oh, he's given us the learning, and then those words penetrate your hearts. Don't they? So this is the difference. Allah's, that look at the difference in the people who give you value and benefit. Sometimes you sit there and here, look at the hadith of Rasulullah. If that man's alive with dhikrullah, Faktarbu, don't leave his gathering, don't leave his company. Why? Because he will transfer the hikmah and the zuhd, the alka hikmah. The splash of hikmah will be transferred to you just like he is. He will make you just like he is. SubhanAllah. Mirror reflection. What a great learning Ramadan is teaching us through this. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So time for dhikr now. Alhamdulillah. So it's time for us to do the action now that will make laziness go far from us. So you understood now? Your time's not being wasted, is it? Is this not the word of Allah? That far from India, such a big shaykhul of these people came running to him. He said, the enjoyment I get here, I have not found anywhere else. I said to him, myself in the heart, Hazrat, the actions we do here, they're not done anywhere else. The actions we do here. That's why you feel this. SubhanAllah. Yeah, is this happening anywhere else? No. Look at this. The how my Hazrat Sahib was a great wali, Al-Hazrat Ali Murtada. May I give my everything for him. That millions and millions of ni'mas that we cannot repay the favor, his favor. Millions. Where was Satah? He made us alive, us dead people. Our hearts were dead. The human being, he made the masjids alive. Not just human beings, he made the masjids alive. The masjids, he made a difference. That this is not a masjid. This masjid is not a masjid anymore. Wherever a person is doing dhikrullah, that masjid is alive. Wherever the dhikr is done, it's alive. Wherever they leave dhikr, there is no masjid. Hazrat Marhum Mulana Mumin Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, I remember his words, that he was connected to our silsila. He was connected to this fakir. He had the relationship. So once, then when we had that place, they said, we can't do dhikr anymore. Then we put our things together. We wrapped up to our bedding and everything. We left there. And he didn't know he came. And he used to come every year. And when he came and sat and met me, he said, Hazrat, I used to go to that masjid. And there, I don't know what feeling has, what's lost from that masjid. These were his words. He said, they've lost something. I don't feel like sitting on that mimbar anymore in that masjid. When I speak, I don't see that illumination, that nur anymore. I don't feel that contentment, that peace. That good loving feeling. I don't know, something's lost from this masjid, that masjid. I say, Hazrat, this is clear and right what you're saying. And you've confirmed it. Nothing has happened. There's carpet, the Quran's there, there's takreers and speeches, everything. But one thing they've lost and they've expelled from there, and Allah loves that, and the dhikr of Allah, they've lost the dhikr of Allah. He said, yes, from today I accept, I agree with you. Wherever there's dhikr, only that place is illuminated. He said this, because Allah said that I have established masjids for what action? Dhikrullah, nothing else. And the dhalim oppressors, most of all are who? Those people in the masjids, they stop dhikr taking place. Who compete, who say, no, you can't do dhikr. Those people most beloved to Allah are those who host and do dhikr in the masjid. And the biggest losers are those who don't allow it to be done in the masjid. So will we do dhikr? Yes, we won't just do it. We'll invite people towards dhikr. Yes, not just that you run away yourself. No, 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 as I told you, ghaflat, negligence, whoever runs away, he's lazy. And whoever's lazy goes into jahannam. This is the sign. Shaitan will not allow you to come to dhikr. Give your life, but don't leave dhikr. But shaitan will take you to jahannam. He won't leave you from dhikr. Ghafil is jahannami, and the dhakir is jannati. Who is the dhakir? Ruju in Allah. He turns his attention to Allah. That's why he's jannati. So I've given that lesson today, that the fast in the evening, what will it make you? Such an elevated status and high maqam, ruju ila Allah, due to turning to Allah, that Allah says, I become your eye, your hands, your legs, ask from me what you want, I'll give to you. Every man will be there, you have yaqeen and belief in this or not, but Allah Ta'ala is saying this. Allah is saying this, you've become my friends, and try this. Allah, if you have the desire, pass away, and see which condition you wake up in. So many angels will come to receive you, welcome you, and Jannah decorated for you there will be. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala, may He give us the ability to pass this month of Ramadan in a great way. Come, let's do the dhikr of Allah. Recite the dhikr.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina Ya Allah, humare gunahon ko maaf farma de. Ya Allah, tu humse razi ho ja. Ya Allah, tu humse razi ho ja. Hey, mere Mola, tu tamam gunahon ko maaf farma de. Saghira, kabira, sare gunahon ko maaf farma de. Hey, mere Mola, hey, mere Mola. Ya Allah, tu aisi taufeeq se naseeb farma ki har waqt hum tujhe yaad karte rahe, mere Mola. Hamara ek hi jasten mein teri yaad ke andar mast ho jaye, mere Mola. Ya Allah, tu apne fazl farma, ya Allah. دیکھ صحبتیں نصیب فرما اپنے محبوب بندوں کی صحبتیں نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا ہر وقت ہر سانس ہمارا تیرے ذکر کے ساتھ معمور ہو جائے میرے مولا یا اللہ بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما یا اللہ مصیبت زدوں کو مصیبتیں دور فرما یا اللہ بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما یا اللہ جو ہسپتالوں میں گھروں میں میرے مولا ان کی آسانی فرما یا اللہ ان پہ آسانی فرما یا اللہ ان پہ آسانی فرما یا اللہ جتنی دعائیں ہم نے مانگی میرے مولا ذکر کی صورت میں ساری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلیہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون والسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ